One and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 70, Comic Talk.
That's 7-0.
7-0. Still going. I don't know if any, well, I don't know if anybody's listening. I know there's a few people listening. At least New Mutant on Facebook, he's listening. I think he's on another podcast.
I think there's at least five people that we can solidly say are listening. Beyond that, with the downloads are really up from what you were saying. So
I haven't looked at that in a while. I need to.
Downloads versus listens are two completely different things.
Well, you know, if they download is 1,000 downloads, I don't care if they listen to them or not. Numbers don't lie. Anyway, let's see. Oh, well, I'm Chris Mosby, by the way, if you didn't know that already.
Yeah, he's Chris Mosby. I'm Caleb Gerard.
Yes, that's correct.
Neither one of us is Murray Fox.
No, Murray is, I don't know what Murray's doing today. We'll just say he's pelting and trapping again.
Can you believe it? He's doing some pre-Christmas family nonsense.
Oh, is he now?
Yeah, that's what he claims.
Okay, well, all power to him. I still have to get stuff.
Dude, come on.
Well, I got most of it. I just need to get stuff for the kids. But my sister is in the middle of finals, and she does not want to be bothered with trying to coordinate what to get the boys right now. So,
Boys R Us is open until 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I know. So, well, I'm going to do most of it on Amazon, probably. So I've done most of everything else. Some people are getting Kindle Fire HDs.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, that was me, actually, but some people are getting other Kindle cards, but yeah. Yeah, Santa told me I was really good this year, so I get to get one of those.
I almost broke down to look at a slate, but then I pulled those, back.
Like, yeah, those, I don't know. We're testing those at work, and it's just a fancy tablet, really.
We are rolling out pre-prod Windows 8 at my company. So.
Yeah, they're talking about doing that at work too.
Shit. Hellacious.
I don't really like it, but Windows 8 personally. But hey, whatever.
The interface is it's so much different though. That's what's gonna.
Well, it's made for a tablet, and you try to put it on a PC. It's really not. That's what I don't like about it. If I was going to use a tablet, I'd be okay with having it on there. But if I'm going to be using a laptop or a PC, I don't think the default settings are what you want. But, and then you also have to put into thoughts there that usually, from my experience, every other operating system that Microsoft puts out is crap. Well, you got XP was good, Vista, crap, Windows 7, good, so Windows 8, what's it going to be? It's going to be crap.
Is that like the Star Trek movies?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It is the same. It's the same with Windows operating systems.
3, 5, and 7, blue, and 1, 2, 4, and 6 were good? Okay.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same thing, just a general rule. And I usually go by I usually get that stuff for free just because of the contacts that I got, but I'm not jumping to upgrade. That's for sure.
Well, our biggest concern right now is SCCM 2012. So.
Yes. Yeah, that needs its SP1 before it's fully compatible with Windows 8 anyway.
Yeah, do a class in a couple weeks on that.
Joy. Oh, good for you. Yeah, we're gearing up to. We got all the hardware in place. We just need to do the work.
Server upgrades.
And then, of course, Patch Tuesday is next week, so.
Sorry, we're getting way off topic here.
Yes, we are.
But
this isn't a geek podcast, so.
Let me bring it kind of back on topic. You did something a few months ago, which I have now done.
Okay.
And for pretty much the same reasons. I'm going to go full digital. Other than trades, I will stop by some trade paperbacks and
I probably will too.
And collections and stuff, but my LCS dropped the ball. I mean, they weren't as bad as the one that you were dealing with, but I would keep finding out that they were not pulling books for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't end up buying the digital copy. I was just like, you know what? Forget it. I'm buying digital stuff you're not pulling for me anyhow. And
mm-hmm.
they were like, oh, well, it's a new guy pulling it, or, you know, oh, we, you know, oops, sorry about that. It's like, dude, I, you know, I was there right when this whole digital thing kicked off, you know, last year, and I was there when the local big store, Atomic Comics, went out of business. I was already shopping at this place. It was just, and I was just like, you know, thank you guys. You guys have been great. Maybe I'll still buy my trade paperbacks from you, which, in all honesty, I probably will not. Yeah. Just 'cause it's cheaper to go online.
Oh, absolutely.
And buy Amazon or other sources. And
yeah, and it's, you know, I'm sure you agree. It's great to, you know, support a local shop, but there's got to be some give and take there, you know.
Yeah. It's and I, again, been shopping there for so long, and when I walk in, I feel like I'm a new customer walking in. And I don't expect a norm greeting, but I certainly don't expect the, you know, a repeat of conversation that we've now had four times because they think they've never had it with me before. It's like, I've been here. I came here every other week for the last, you know, 12 months.
And right.
So it's a good store. But it is time for me to bite the bullet and move. You know, like I said, I'll still get some trade paperbacks. My daughters will still get, you know, their collections, buy the Young Justice collections, and I just got the Amethyst showcase and things like that. But not from them. I got those from online. Yeah. With Amazon Prime, speaking of Kindles, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, with Amazon Prime, I get free shipping.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
As we're finding out, they have an incredible online video library, too. So.
Yes, they do.
Well, not for free, but it's included.
Yeah, you can watch all kinds of crap on there. I don't get to use it as much right now because of the internet situation, but that's okay.
Well, so I'm, and this has nothing to do with DC saying, you know, we're going to put our books, not saying we're going to put our online books out at midnight.
we're going to get to talk about that, right?
Which was a big bugaboo for a lot of retailers, because Marvel just had the courtesy to say, hey, we're going to be putting our books out online before we're going to ship, before the physical copy.
Well, I don't remember that, but if you say they said it, then that's...
Well, they didn't like, because we're not retailers, so, but... Sure. They did. They made a, you know, it wasn't a loud announcement. They just sort of, it's probably maybe been part of, you know, one of those Axel in Charge interviews or something like that. But they did mention it. DC, on the other hand, just all of a sudden their books started showing up at midnight online.
Yep.
Retailers are not putting them on the shelves until, you know, hours later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found out that by accident when I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning and watching a deployment. It was, Wednesday morning. And sure enough, and I knew Marvels were out there, so I was going to go ahead and just buy them, the ones I wanted, if there was any. And then sure enough, the DC started showing up there too, so.
It is the wave of the future. I don't think it's going to kill all retailers, but I think there are going to be some that are not going to be able to, you know, compete with the concept of I want it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not one of those people because I'm not up at midnight, but I certainly, I don't want to have to go back to my retailer saying, hey, where's my copy of, and in the last case, it was Legion of Superheroes.
Right.
You know, that was.
That's what did it for me is that was one of the last straws for me. It was that too. I said, well, no, number 10 never came out. Yeah, I did. It's online, you know. But anyway.
So it's you know, sad. And part of the fun about going to the comic book store was getting to, you know, BS about comics. But I get that fix here. I get that fix on Facebook. I've even found out that there's a coworker that is a fanboy. So.
Oh, okay, cool.
I get my comic talk fix without having to go and I hate to say it, spend money for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the bad thing is you don't get any – well, I mean, I was getting discounts, but if you were getting it through, like, the mail or whatever, you could get it a lot cheaper, but then again, you'd have to wait. So there's your, it's a give and take kind of thing.
I wonder what that's going to do to that, what is that company that does the DCBS?
DCBS. I don't know. They got a deal with them anyway, and you can get, if you buy your stuff through them, your digital stuff through them, you get discounts off of other stuff. So.
Oh. So they've done that.
So
they've adapted rather than died.
Mm-hmm. Well, even the comic shop I was going to had a digital thing, and I could buy the comics through them, but I have to go through, you know, all the stuff and go to the website. But if I buy it through the app, it doesn't, you know, whatever. I mean, I could have kept doing that, but once I found out I was, getting ready to move, there's no reason to do that.
I'm looking forward to reading Brian Hibbs's article, and I just noticed that it was up on DCBS. It's actually been there for about 3 days, but I just noticed that it's available. So Brian Hibbs is a retailer out of San Francisco. He does
Comic
Experience.
Mm-hmm.
He does a mostly monthly column, which runs out of sources about the retailer point of view.
And, oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
The last year or so, it feels like every column has been about, you know, how digital is, you know.
Yes, he did put one up.
It's not killing us, it's killing us, it's not killing us, it's killing us.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you were talking about, too. It's exactly about the putting the stuff early.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, piracy is going to kill us. Oh, it's not going to kill us. It's killing us. It's not killing us. It's like, okay, Mr. Hibbs, find a position and stick with it. But this is interesting to read. So,
yeah, I'll have to read that.
He's a nice guy. I met him, oh, my God, it must have been 10 years ago. But anyhow.
Yeah. Okay, I'll have to read that too.
So that was an announcement mixed with a bit of a comic walk news stuff, things. The other piece that I want to talk about is the mid-season finale for Walking Dead.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
Bargain awesome.
Is it?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that. That's one of those things. I have it on the dish thing at my sister's house, but that's one of those things that I have to wait till they sleep to watch.
Yeah.
And usually I don't get it done in time, so before I get sleepy.
As someone who just is now caught up on the monthlies.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm behind on that.
I think I'm caught up. I think it's maybe 1 month behind, but
I usually wait and read it in the hardcovers, and I haven't got the last one yet. Number 8, it's been out for a while, I think.
Number 8.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they? The hardcovers collect more issues, don't they?
Yeah, it's a year at a time.
Okay. Yeah. No. I've read the first just shy of 100 issues in the those big old omnibuses.
Yes. Compendium 2 is out as well. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. No. That's where I got 1 through 40.
Oh. Okay.
1 through 46 in the first compendium, and then I think 47 through 96 in the second compendium. And they're not books that you read in bed because they're too heavy.
Yeah, okay, there it is. Yeah. Walking Dead book number 8 covers number 85 to 96. Yeah, I was reading it monthly on Comixology, but I just couldn't. I have to, something about that, I got to read it in a big chunk. Reading it monthly, it was, and I've completely stopped reading Invincible. It just got off my radar, and I don't even know how far along I am on that one. I think the last one I read was in the 80s, 85, and they're up to, they're getting close to 100, so I'm like 20 issues out on that. So
you will enjoy when you catch up on it. That's funny, because that Walking Dead, actually, that hardcover ends where the compendium ends, so I guess.
Yeah.
That's not a coincidence, I'm sure.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, and I would get compendiums if I didn't have the other 7 hardcovers. And one of the things about the hardcovers is they're oversized. So you can see the art better. So it's I like getting them like that. So,
Angelina. Sorry.
Okay.
We had a sleepover here last night.
I'm sorry.
Four little girls here with my, or you have five little girls with my two. Like, holy moly! And
wow.
The estrogen was flowing.
Wow, that's too bad.
It could have been worse.
Yeah, I'm sure it could be.
It was when they were up at midnight, making tons of noise, and I'm trying to. I'm sleepy.
Yeah, I hate that. I really hate that.
And my wife, Mel's just lying next to me. I'm like, how does she do that?
Yeah.
So, anyhow, Walking Dead. The mid-season finale is cool, and it's just so interesting to see how it's basically two different universes about the same story.
Interesting.
The print, and then we've got this. And then, of course, with the novels, I think there's now two Governor novels out.
Oh, really? I knew there was one. I didn't know there was any more.
There's a second one out there.
Wow, that's amazing.
He has made an industry out of the zombie apocalypse.
Makes you wonder if he's going to finish off, because the rumor, I think the tagline for Invincible number 100 is everyone dies. So they might just be getting ready to end that series.
I would support that. I mean, even if you can only get another 3 years out of Walking Dead, then he can take a year or two off and then come back to comics after that. Mm-hmm. Take a breath.
Yeah.
Because he's done a good thing for comic books with Walking Dead.
Okay. So did you want to elaborate more on the early DC comics, or are we done with that?
If I didn't say it before, I'm not a fan of bushwhacking people. And I think the agreement that DC had made with the retailers is that they wouldn't make any moves without giving them a heads up and giving the retailers an opportunity to adjust their business models for whatever DC was planning.
Mm-hmm.
And this didn't give the retailers an opportunity. When they find out about it after the fact, and they found out about it, sites like Reading Pool and Comic Resources after the fact and such, it's goodness, and it does not engender goodwill with the retailers who have been the most supportive.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
They're supposed to be partners of a sort, and that kind of, I think that screws up that partnership.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Which is not to say that the retailers, are going to stop carrying DC books, because then they really would go out of business.
Mm-hmm.
He is, basically, 48% of the market.
Right.
Marvel being the other 48, and then there's the other, 4% of
stuff. Everybody else is fighting for what's left.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. You got Valiant and Image and I don't know who else. Dark Horse.
Dark Horse is probably the biggest one.
Yeah. Which that'll be interesting to see what happens if they still maintain Star Wars.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I know. It seems like the contract was multi-year, so it might be several years before that's an issue. Because it seems like it was the last time it was up for grabs was, I don't know how many years ago, at least 3 or 4. So I don't know.
Did I see that they're going to start reprinting the Marvel Star Wars stories?
Yeah, I saw that somewhere. I'm trying to figure out where I saw it. It was one of those Nerdist news or something like that. Said something about Star Wars number one.
So now I gotta find it.
Yeah.
Reprint of.
Here it is.
Who's gonna print it?
Star Wars number one with Brian Hood. Hold on.
Sure, I can do that.
Here we go. Sneak peek. Ooh. Send it to you. If I can find the little texty box. Okay.
No desk fan this week, by the way?
Oh, this... What?
That comment.
No, there's a fan there, but I don't think you can hear it. It's farther away this time. Well, this is Dark Horse.
Proof positive that people were listening.
Yeah. Brian Wood's going to be working on Star Wars number one. Huh, interesting. For Dark Horse, though.
For Dark Horse. So Dark Horse has got it at least for another year, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's not what I was wondering about, the reprints of Marvel.
You know, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. Maybe there is something going on there.
Maybe doing that, but never mind. It's all good. I may have just heard that as part of a Hope conversation. I was listening to Two True Freaks, and they were talking about it, and they were saying that I think it may have just been someone was hoping that someone would pick up the reprinting of the Marvel stuff. And
well, Disney's got a big machine to do that, so.
Yeah. Do they really? Mm-hmm. I know where they got $2,000 of their money this year.
Yeah.
I know our $2,000 made their year.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. You and everybody else's. Yeah.
Is that Nerdist Podcast, Paul Williams?
Yeah, he has some interesting people on there.
Paul Williams, cool.
Chris Hardwick, he's the one that does the after show after Walking Dead, Talking Dead. It's the same guy.
Never watched it.
I've watched it a couple times.
Since I don't have cable or dish, it's
I see.
How do you watch it, Caleb? None of your fucking business. How about that, apples?
Oh, it looks explicit tag.
Oh, it should have been on there weeks ago.
Well, I only put it on there when I deem it necessary, but we'll probably let that one slip.
One of those slips in there, the back door.
Yeah, well, when we had the Legion guys on, I definitely had to put it on there because they're all kinds of nasty. They're blue all the time, man.
They're working blue. They're like Red Fox.
So, anyway.
And yeah, those are a couple of topics that have been on my mind. Obviously, the digital, but then when just coincidentally, all that stuff came down a few weeks ago with DC. All of a sudden, their books showing up at midnight.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what we got here. Some stuff. This is stuff off of Bleeding Cool. So take it with several grains of salt.
Oh, FYI, I feel like a real schmuck.
Okay? What? Because you hurt Dick's feelings on our Facebook page.
I did. I couldn't believe it.
That was so awesome. I saw it on there, and I'm like, ugh. Well, we linked to his page, so I'm sure that's why he looked.
And we link to it probably once a day. We send people over to his stuff, which is not, not huge traffic for him, but it's...
Yeah. He decided to check in, and sure enough, you called him Dick, and he smiled. He had a frowny face, man.
He had a frowny face there. I know. I'm sure it kept him up at night, crying in his enormous pillow.
Yeah. So I'm sure he's not listening to our podcast anymore. Man, there goes the fifth listener.
I hate hurting people's feelings, even justifiably. I hate hurting.
Well,
and if I even just an itty bitty bit hurt that guy's feelings, I feel it makes me feel less.
Yeah, good when I saw he commented and saw that, I was just like, holy crap, that's so funny. Anyway, I got a kick out of it.
I'm sure you did, and I'm sure
Well, I have a sick, twisted sense of humor, so
No. And if it happened to someone else, I would have been laughing too.
Yeah.
I'm not close enough to apologizing. I'm not going to quite go there, but I will say that.
Well, it is another way to say his name.
It is.
It's not like you called him asshole or anything.
No.
At least that time.
No. That's a whole different conversation.
Yes, exactly.
When he pulls someone's career down because of a rumor and he doesn't fact check his rumor, yes, absolutely, he deserves it, but. This was simply him. He actually provided a service to me on that particular thing, which was he posted a picture of someone had taken the time to break down a panel that I didn't quite. It wasn't very clear, and
yeah, it was kind of hard to read.
And I was a douche. So.
Well, it's all right. We all have our moments.
We do. Now, if someone could just name the characters at the end of Avengers number one, I'd be really happy.
Oh, Avengers number one? I remember you guys talking about that, and I think I just kind of just read it and just went on. Well, I'll have to.
It just came.
Yeah.
I don't think we talked about it yet.
No. Anyhow. No. Let's see. Let's go over a couple things real quick.
Okay, please. Yes. Please
stuff out here. Just shoot it out there.
Real conversation.
Off of Dan Didio's Facebook page. I think I mentioned this somewhere, but J.M. DeMatteis will be joining me on the scripting of the series. It will help keep the series on schedule. Will J.M. deliver the quality you hope and expect for the book, which probably means he's just going to continue. He's just going to write it and take half credit. That's probably what's going to happen there.
Now we're talking about Phantom Stranger?
Yes, Phantom Stranger. I didn't say that. No, but yeah, he's going to co-write it. So have you been reading that book?
No, I stopped at number zero.
I've actually kept reading it. It's kind of interesting, even though the writing's kind of stale. It's just like there's not very much emotion to it, whether I continue to or not. And it's just because of that whole ties in with the origins of the New 52 universe. That's the only reason I did that. But anyway, yeah, he will be co-writing, which hopefully the quality will go up.
Now, who did you say who's going to be co-writing it with him? Is J.M. DeMatteis?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that might make it interesting because he was a great co-writer on the Justice League books back in the day. So mm-hmm. That would be.
Yeah, that's what
I found it just boring and the art was distracting and I didn't get past. I literally did not get past number zero.
Yeah, it was moderately interesting, and I've always been interested in that character and never been around when they were, you know, never read the when he had his own series. I was thinking I was too young. Now here's a little bit of info that Mr. Johnson has on his site. This was from yesterday. DC may have released a number of March solicitations so far, but we are missing the Batman and the Dark groups. This may be delayed because there are, let's go with, quote-unquote, issues to sort out. Now, you remember when the rumors about Gail Simone not being off of Batgirl?
Sure.
Well, apparently, 17 and 18 will not be written by her. This specifically isn't an indication that Gail is off the book. I've been explicitly told this is a fill-in writer situation. So, and then, so it was, issue 17 has already been solicited, and it says it's written by her, but it's not really. And now, his last word on this was, this just one of a number of high-profile similar situations I've been hearing about at DC Comics this past week. More to come. And that was just yesterday. So, let's see. Where was I going? A new writer on something. What was it?
Well, no, I think that's...
Yes.
Obviously, I'm not reading Batgirl, but...
Yeah, I stopped reading it, too.
There's no question that if there's ever a writer that should be writing Batgirl, it's her. She has such an affinity for the character, but if she were to leave, there's got to be that would give more credence to the editorial issues that DC has been accused of over the last few months.
Yes, the heavy handedness.
Because there's no way that she would leave the book, unless
she could
really crappy work situation.
Yeah. And along those lines, it looks like Jim Zubakovich will be taking over Birds of Prey. Now, if that doesn't sound familiar, he is the creator of a book called Skull Kickers for Image, which is a very fun Dungeons & Dragons type book. It's a really good book. I've got several issues off of Comicsology, and I tried whenever they got a sale, I pick up as many as I can.
Yeah, you've talked about that book a couple times.
Yeah, it's a great book. He's also doing Pathfinder, which is a D&D type setup for Dynamite, and doing some web comics too, apparently. But he's taking over. This is his first big gig. He's taking over for Dwayne Swear Szczesny, which hopefully
that. Wow, that was impressive.
Did I actually say it right?
I think you did.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, because that is one of those. Sometimes I just don't even try on that one, but I decided to give it a shot. I've had a good caffeine level, and I just decided to hit it. But anyway, there's a nice little article here on comics. No, not Comixology. Comic Book Resources about that. That was posted on Friday. So some more departures leaving stuff, and they also announced it on the blog, the source comic, DC Comics blog, which is interesting. Apparently, they picked up in the Birds of Prey book. They picked up a errant. Talon, and she's going to be part of the team.
You're everywhere.
Yeah, I know that. I don't know about that. They should.
That was that. They are going. The concept was cool for the Court of Owls stuff, and yeah. As an individual character, the book has actually turned out pretty good. Mm-hmm. But
it's the Talon book.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm up to date on that one.
You're an issue behind. Don't worry about it.
That's right. I think I'm one issue behind.
Or maybe two, because what is it, up to three now?
Something like that, yeah.
Or maybe three hasn't come out yet. But point being is that it's they're going to kill it. If they keep Talon here, Talon there.
Yeah, they're going a little crazy with it. So I guess I remember seeing that in a little bit of that somewhere. Before I stopped, they were just setting that up barely when I stopped reading the book. But apparently it shows her right there on the cover of Birds of Prey number 18 fighting with Mr. Freeze, because you know Mr. Freeze has a bone to pick with the owls, the Talons. So that's a little bit there. Let's see what else we got. Warren Ellison, Brian Hitch's Complete the Authority among DC Comics' collected editions. In case you're wondering.
I may get that. It was some really, really.
I read the first issue of that, and that was really cool. I might pick that up too.
Some really good superhero storytelling.
Yeah. It's Authority Volume 1, and it's the first 12, actually.
Yeah, it's back.
Yeah.
Back in the day, pre-Stormwatch.
Uh-huh, and it looks like they're doing a trade paperback of Legion Worlds. Remember that series?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
It's coming out on April 24th. New printing of Batman Year 100, which was actually pretty good.
That was the Paul Pope thing, right?
Yeah, I really liked that.
I never read it, obviously. I've heard about it.
At first, I didn't. The art was a little... It put me off a little bit, but it's actually pretty good. They're doing a new printing of Superman Secret Identity. Now, okay, folks. If you missed this the first time, it's $20. It's coming out in April. If you've never read this, you got to, because it's Kurt Busiek and Stuart Immonen book. And I don't know, have you heard about this, Caleb?
Well, I read it in trade paperback.
When it came out, trade the first time?
Yeah, maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah, because I actually have I bought it when it was out in issues. It was really hard to find there for a while, but if you haven't read that, this is set in the real world, and a guy named Clark Kent, and he all of a sudden, and he's a writer, and all of a sudden he gets powers just like Superman, but it's set in our world. And it was a 4-issue miniseries, and it was in the, you know, super duper format that they used to, whatever they call it, prestige format or something like that. But you guys know what I'm talking about. And it's one of the better Busiek works, and he's more about the character than about the overall, you know, the story. That's why those Astro City things are pretty good.
Yeah, this is pre-Earth One. This is this is kind of like when they, you know, were they did that when they used to have the when Superboy Prime before he went off the rails. This is who he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this, yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with the DC Universe at all.
Right.
It's like I said, it's supposed to be set in our world. And this guy was named Clark Kent, and he just all of a sudden has superpowers. It's a real interesting take on it. And I really enjoyed it.
I remember enjoying it as well. I haven't read it since the first time I read it, which was, again, it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'd like to have that in trade, because that's a really good book. I think they have that on Comixology, too, now that I think about it.
I will look. Let me see.
Yeah, you do that.
It says Superman Secret.
And while he's doing the typey-typey thing, I happened to notice this morning when I got up, Jim Starlin posted on his Facebook page at 4:42 a.m. You might be hearing it here first. Well, it might be all over the internet by the time you listen to this. But he says on his status, I have just completed scripting the first two issues of an ongoing series for DC Comics. Can't say what the title is until DC wants the news out, but I imagine a lot of people will be quite surprised to see me take over the writing chores on this particular property. Been having a, in parentheses, surprisingly fun time with it so far. So that has my interest piqued, because Starlin's awesome.
Cosmic stuff. I've been watching, reading. John Wilson has been, who's been on the show a couple of times. He's been rereading the Warlock stuff from Marvel.
Oh yeah, I'd like to read that again.
Which is, you know, that's pure unfiltered Starlin.
Oh, absolutely. They had a deal. Dynamite had a deal for the Dreadstar Omnibus recently on Comixology, and I think the retail is at least $20 on that, and I got it for like 7 or 8, and I haven't read it yet, but I love his Dreadstar work. I still got about half that series I want to read.
It would be really cool. I mean, as much as I want to see Giffen doing writing and stuff, it would be really, it wouldn't surprise me if he were to be taking over that DC Cosmic book. What's it called again?
Called Threshold.
Threshold, you know, since Giffen's going to be doing a bunch of Legion stuff. It would not surprise me a bit to see.
I think him and Dan Jurgens are the ones that go around with a cork and plug holes in certain things. That seems to be the thing. You know, this is going in a crapper. Get the B team or the cleanup crew over there. You kind of noticed that too.
I have. Well, Jurgens, I don't think he'll be going anywhere anytime soon. At least I hope he won't. But yeah, I absolutely. It's like, and we need, quick, fill in the gap.
I just was looking at the solicitations for next month that's all spread out on all these different websites. He's on Firestorm right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I know it.
So, yeah, I mean, something's going on there.
Wait a minute, Jurgens has been on Firestorm for a few months.
Has he? No, I didn't even notice. I've stopped paying attention to that title.
Yeah, he came on with number 0, and I actually, number 13. I didn't pick up number 0, but I picked up 13. Firestorm is good again.
What?
It's good.
It's good now?
It is good.
Oh, well, it's way too much.
I recommend trying out Firestorm if you're looking. Since Blue Beetle's going bye-bye, this will fill that
gap. Well, he's going to be in Threshold, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay. That's one I'm looking forward to, because Giffen does good work. He did a lot of good on the Annihilation stuff from Marvel, that first series. And that second one did too, but he didn't have as much to do with it.
And by the way, yes, Superman Secret Identity 1 through 4 are available on Comixology for $2.99 a pop.
Yeah, so. And it's worth the money, I'm going to tell you.
$12 for the.
Because I think the regular issues were at least 5 apiece when they came out.
I'm trying to see if it says how many pages. There we go, 45 pages per issue. Oh,
that is definitely worth the money. You got to go pick that up.
Wow, 2004.
Yeah, that was a while back. Speaking of that, I got they had a sale on Jonathan Hickman's Fantastic or FF Run. And I had started reading that, but stopped, and it was like 99 cents a piece, so I picked up all they had for sale. That's some good stuff. I've really been enjoying that, and it ended up dovetailing in with the Fantastic Four, number 600, and a few after, and I read some of those. That guy is a great writer.
Hickman is one of those guys that, sort of like what you were saying with Invincible and Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Reading month to month is really irritating, but reading his stuff in bulk works out really well.
That's probably why I stopped reading FF then, is because of that very reason, because I was having to read it month to month. But I read a bunch of them in a row, and it was just like, wow, you know?
Yeah, I think that that's when after reading Avengers number one, I'm like, okay, that's a good start, but
I know it left me cold. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm like, I want more, and we're gonna have, luckily it's coming out biweekly, but still it may work out better to wait and you know, read like 6 issues all at once or something.
Yeah, and wait till it's in a collection or whatever, and buy a, because I know Marvel is doing a pretty good job of that. Doing collections like that.
Well, they always have. Yeah. That's been one of their.
I want DC to do that more, and I like how Comixology's been doing story arcs. So if you're, you know, trying to keep up, you know, like the death of the family, they're you know, in the app and on the webpage, it tells you exactly which the next one is. So it's that's one good thing of reading them on digital over paper. You'd have to go hunt all that crap down on the web or whatever, but it just tells you, okay, next one's this one. So
I'm waiting to see who's going to come out as competition for Comixology, but that's a different conversation.
Well, I don't know if there's anybody that can at this point. That Longbox Comics was a great idea, and it never went anywhere. It died before it even started.
There needs to be competition. There needs to be a.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, you got, of course, you still got Dark Horse that's off by their own. And they've got a whole different app, a whole different thing, which I've got stuff for them, but I don't think of them because they're not part of this. You know?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And they got some pretty good deals, but I just don't. I don't frequent their website barely at all now. So.
Uh-oh. They need better publicity, better publicist.
And there's you know, the Star Wars books they put out are really good, and I'd be interested to see how that goes. So.
Hey, I'm a huge John Ostrander fan, and that's where he's.
Anything he does over there with that is awesome. So.
But you got to remember to go there.
Yeah.
Not remembering, then it doesn't get bought, and then it...
Yeah, I'll have to go over there and check out some stuff because I still have the app installed on my tablet. I just don't use it very often. So, what else we got to talk about? What else did I find?
I don't know, man. I know that I've never been more excited to be a Spider-Man reader.
You really enjoying that? I need to catch up on that big time.
You absolutely do.
I've got a whole bunch of trades all packed up in the storage unit, so.
Oh, just go grab yourself a copy of 698 and 699.
Mm-hmm.
You will be as caught up as you need to be to grab number 700, which is not to say you shouldn't buy and read the stuff that led up to it, but
yeah.
Dan Slott does an amazing job. In number 698 and 699 of filling any info gaps that might exist for people who are looking for it. We'll be picking up number 700.
All right, well, I'll have to check that out then.
It is. I don't even want to get spoilery here, but I mean they've been releasing covers recently that are pretty spoilery.
I think I saw a couple of those, but I try not to look.
He quite the twist and quite the – it doesn't come out of left field. It's like totally part of the story, and it means a lot more if you've read a lot of the issues that have led up to it, but it's still – if you have any knowledge of the Spider-Man universe and the Spider-Man mythos, then it means a hell of a lot even in that pad, even on that level.
Yeah, I can understand.
And and if Marvel is going to do with Peter Parker what it appears that they are going to do, it is ballsy.
Really?
Yes. I don't. I it probably won't. It won't stick in the long run. I mean, I think that that's a given.
Yeah, because it looks like they're going to replace him with something.
Yeah, and that's just everyone who reads comics knows that stuff doesn't last forever. And I think even, you know, the writers and
they've done it before.
They did it with Captain America. They've done it with
they did it with Spider-Man before. Yeah. The whole clone thing where that's not the real Spider-Man. That's the clone. Remember that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. The clone saga. Yeah. Yes, the dreaded clone saga.
Infamous. It's infamous. It's not dreaded. It is dreaded.
Was dreaded. It was when I read it. I wasn't reading it then, but I read enough about it and think, oh, that's a terrible idea.
There's a .1 issue coming out, I think, this upcoming
week. Yeah, that's right. I saw that.
And then there is number 700, which comes out on, looks like December 26th of all days. And that will be the last issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
Wow.
Starting in January to be Superior Spider-Man. And I never thought I'd be excited to – I'd be looking forward – so much looking forward to reading Spider-Man every issue.
Mm, that's cool.
Even when McFarlane was drawing back in those days.
Yeah.
Those were fun.
Yeah, I was reading it back then.
I'm reading it because
– I still had some of those.
Some of them are probably worth some money.
Well, the one actually I made a good amount of money off that 300 because I bought it, the one with the first black and white costume, because I remember I bought it when it came out. It's like $1.50. I think I sold it for $15. So
a nice turnaround.
Yes, that's probably the most money I've made off a comic book, I think. But that's a that's a good level of return, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
you didn't have to wait very long in that one either. Anyhow,
No, I didn't. It was 5 or 6 years at the most. I was dumping comics for one of the first moves, I think.
I dumped comics to help pay bills.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Hawkeye. Let's talk about Hawkeye a little bit. So people that have watched the show or on the Facebook page knows that, that Caleb sometimes curses me for getting him hooked on the Batman and Robin comic. I talked him into buying that, and he's enjoying that. And he's returned the favor by talking me into reading the Hawkeye series. It's who the heck is doing that? Matt Fraction, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Matt Fraction and David Aja, I think.
Ah, that's right. The same bunch that did enjoyed run of Iron Fist that was canceled afterward, and so yeah, I got to reading that, and it is a great book. Mm-hmm. It really is a lot of fun to read. So there's something else out there. There's only 5 issues come out, and I think it's $2.99, isn't it?
It is.
So one of their cheaper ones, which I wish they did more of. But that's Marvel for you. And number 7 of this issue of this series, Matt Fraction, the writer, is going to donate all of his proceeds from the book to what's that name of that storm? Sandy?
Hurricane Sandy. Yeah.
Yes, Hurricane Sandy relief for New York City. So
he didn't say which. He didn't say which. Or did he say which charity it was? I
don't know. Good. Okay. Are you typing? Are you doing the typey-typey?
I'm not. I will.
Okay. All right.
I just think it's important because it's like not like he's going to walk out on the street and start handing out checks to people who are
whose houses. Right. I'm sure a charity will take care of that. Let's see. While he's doing that, we'll hop around. And yeah, I'm looking at a Threshold number 3 kind of thing. And it's like they're going to have a takeoff of Captain Carrot. In here, I think they're almost making it look like a Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit. This cover, and he looks like Rocket Raccoon, so that's kind of funny. Captain Krot, K'ROT. That looks
thanks,
interesting.
Mr. Giffen.
Yes, and Larf Flees is going to be the backup in that. That's interesting. Oh, what
By
was
the
it?
Way, It's the Red Cross. That's what he's.
Oh, Red Cross. Okay, well, that makes sense. That reminds me, I read something else about a comic that's going to... Oh, yeah. Justice League is going to have Manhunter backups in it, which means it'll be $3.99.
Which you mean, like...
Justice League of America, the new one.
I know, wait, so they're Martian Manhunter?
Yeah, well, they just call him Manhunter. So that might be his name now. Just Manhunter.
Well, that's not too confusing, because now they have what... Well, I guess in the new DC Universe, they've only got one.
Manhunter's right, yeah. And I guess in DC Universe number 18, we're going to have a Starfire story. Interesting outfit that she's got now, that one that from Red Hood and the Outlaws.
I was about to say it's gonna be all pin up all the time.
Yes, pretty much. Yes. The Manhunter, they're gonna be written by Matt Kent as well.
He was doing the Frankenstein stuff.
I think so. And I don't really get why they're doing a Katana solo series. I don't get that in the vibe thing. Justice League of America's vibe, by the way, in case you're wondering. But anyway. So there's a little bit more. What else we got?
Oh, big DC story, actually. Big DC story.
Lay it on me.
Karen Berger leaving Vertigo.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
I think that's a huge deal. I mean, she is Vertigo, and there's already been all the grumblings and whining about when Hellblazer going mainstream with Constantine, the Dark. I don't think it necessarily means the end of Vertigo, but she shepherded that whole concept, that whole line for. Literally decades.
And I could tell that that didn't sit well with Paul French either.
Well, and it probably doesn't sit well with a lot of people, and I think people are concerned that the Vertigo concept is going to go bye-bye. I think that that's premature. I think that they've still got the anchors with Fables and... what else? There was something else, and I'm having a brain freeze on it. But, American Vampire.
Yeah. Yeah, which is going to be on hiatus, I hear.
Oh, okay. Well, that.
Yeah, I don't know I didn't get a chance to read what the deal was, but he's going to put it on a hiatus, I think, because of all the other stuff he's got going on.
Oh, well, that Jeff Lemire is a busy dude.
No, American Vampire. That's Scott Snyder.
Oh, that's Scott Snyder. I'm sorry. What did I say? Did I say Jeff Lemire? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I meant Scott Snyder, of course.
I'm really enjoying his Justice League Dark, by the way.
You are. It's a good book.
It's a good book. Anyway, continue.
No, I think that there's still room for Vertigo to exist, but it doesn't. It'd be interesting to see who's going to replace her, and if they can bring that kind of synergy. I love that word. To Vertigo that she provided.
Yeah.
She was the voice. She was the face. She was. The selling point for Vertigo, and it would be a shame to see it go away because it brought independent publishing to the mainstream. And we would not have gotten books like Sandman, at least not the quality it reached as it progressed away from the mainstream DC universe, as well as Swamp Thing and Animal Man and Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
And again, Fables, American Vampire. I mean, the list goes on. Sweet Tooth. That's Lemire. That's Lemire. Okay. No, that's
Lemire. Yeah, that ended, didn't it?
It did, but that's beside the point. I mean, it was a place where people could work for mainstream DC, DC, or work for DC, but not have to necessarily write a superhero book.
Right. Exactly.
And I know they changed the contracts for those creators, but I think that's a big behind the curtain piece of news that I don't think we're going to feel the impact of it for 6 or 7 months, but it would not come as a shock if we're
right. I agree.
We're gonna go stop publishing now. It'll come back because DC can't abandon that completely. But Marvel doesn't do anything like it. I mean, they claim to do it with Icon, but really, how many Icon books are there? Like one?
Yeah, they don't come out very often.
Yeah, they got Powers, and then they claim to have other stuff.
Yeah, Powers doesn't come out very often either. I think I got one of the latest hardcover. I haven't read it yet.
So it would suck, but it wouldn't be a surprise either.
No, it wouldn't be. I don't know. I never did really, wasn't really a big fan of all that anyway, so. I mean, that just wasn't my thing. I never did get it. I mean, I like Fables. I've read the first couple of trades of that, and I do want to read the rest. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
Get off your high horse and do it.
No, that's a good book. Well, then they started putting out those deluxe editions, and probably want to get those instead of trades. I don't know.
There
you go.
All there.
Yep. So what else can we cover?
Sure, there's other things. I finally saw Dark Knight. Did I tell you that? I did, yes.
Yes, you saw that? What'd you think?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was definitely the low point of the trilogy.
Yeah, I had a lot of problems with it. I don't know. It was a good movie, and it was really, really, really... it was a lot realistic, let's put it that way, far as you can get with something like that. All right.
As much as I enjoyed Anne Hathaway in there, she was completely pointless to the story.
Yeah, there was no reason to have her. They got back into their, we got to have two bad guys thing.
And she wasn't even a bad guy. She was more along the lines of the current Catwoman where she's, you know...
Right.
Good guy, bad guy.
I agree.
It was cluttered. It was, I don't know. And I, oh my god, how ridiculous was Bane's voice?
Oh, I know.
My good lord! I know. I read about it and I heard about it. And I was like, oh, it can't be that.
Yeah, you could barely understand what he said to the whole thing.
Oh well, in the video you can. I mean, if you watch it on they seem to have, I guess they cleaned up the audio, but So you can, in fact, understand him, but he was talking like this. And I was like, oh, my God, he's a monster.
Yeah, and I really didn't even understand what that was all about either.
Yeah.
And I kind of was disappointed that I figured it out. I figured it out pretty early, the plot twist. We won't get into that.
I didn't. That I will give them credit for. Though my wife said when at the point, spoiler, when he slept with her, she said... Something's going to go wrong there, and I didn't. It didn't click with me, even though I knew that there was a Ra's al Ghul twist.
Yeah,
but I 100% anticipated Liam Neeson walking back on screen. I did not see the other
way around. Yeah.
And I should have.
I knew that was a possibility. I just had a feeling. But yeah, I like how they ended it, and they could continue. But I don't think he will. So
I know. Yeah, Nolan's done. He said he's done his Batman story, and unfortunately, I think he left on a low note.
That one it had a lot of stuff in it, but it had the back breaking and all that good stuff. So
and it was you know, it was certainly better than Batman and Robin, or
good lord, yes.
Or what was the Val Kilmer one with Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey? Batman
Forever.
Batman Forever. Yeah, I mean, definitely better than those, and better than Spider-Man 3, and you know, better than Superman 4. I mean, it was, you know.
Oh yeah, it was a lot better film. It was just, I don't know, it was almost a chore to watch.
I was like, oh my god, have we at least reached the 2-hour mark? I felt bad about that.
Well, and then in my case, I watched it after. I watched it after watching the first two back to back, so it was even. It was like, you know, let's let the plot move along a little bit here. You know, okay, what are we getting at here? What are we getting at? You know, anyway. So yeah, that's that. I mean, the second one was the best one. But yeah. Much like Empire Strikes Back and Star Trek II, and things like that. So, yeah.
Speaking of Star Trek, have you seen the new trailer for the Star Trek?
No, I'm going to watch it here in a minute. My mom needs to see it too, because I know she's a big fan. As soon as we get off here, I was going to look it up so she could see it.
It is. It looks pretty good. And the actor who plays the bad guy, which I assume is supposed to be Khan, is.
I don't know if it's Khan. Well, that's what everybody wants to think, but I'll have to watch it to see, because I've heard several other theories on that.
I watch Sherlock, which is a great.
Yes, exactly. He's a great actor.
Great show, and he's also. I guess he's going to be in the Hobbit movies. He's plays one of the sidekicks, but he plays the bad guy, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of butt kicking fun. And
awesome.
And it's interesting. It looks as if they've taken Uhura and put her into the Bones role of being the third main character.
Oh, interesting. Well, there might have been some problems with that guy who plays Bones, because he was in Judge Dredd, which it's already going to video. I didn't even see it at the theater. Did you?
No, I
saw it somewhere, and it's like, yeah, I pre-ordered this. It's coming out. And I'm like, well, that's just when it was in the theater. I wanted to see that. You know, but he was in the Judge Dredd remake, and he promised not to ever take the helmet off. And it looked like it was going to be good, but yeah, apparently, yeah. So there you go.
I like that actor. He was good.
Oh, he's awesome.
He was great in Bourne Ultimatum. He was really cool in Red. Uh-huh. I'm sure he was a fine Judge Dredd. He was great as Dr. McCoy in the first Star Trek movie. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Even though there's some hardcore Star Trek fans like, eh, that movie blows. No, it was great.
I am a hardcore Star Trek fan. I can say that. And I love that movie. They did it the absolute perfect way. They didn't crap on everything that's already been done. They just said, okay, that's another universe, and we're starting. And it was the perfect way to relaunch thing.
Well, so. your geek is going to be turned to 11 when you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I've got it pulled up on YouTube here, and I got to get my mom over to see it. And
yes, it will. It will.
Yeah, I've been waiting to watch it. I wanted to watch it with her, so because she's the one that got me started on it.
Yeah, well, it comes out in May. Just FYI.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to it.
And I also just more movie stuff. I finally watched Amazing Spider-Man.
What'd you think of that?
Good. I thought it was good.
One of my friends, I know him since I was a kid, he said it was the best one of all of them, but I don't think it was the best one. I think the second one.
Oh, no, the one with Dr. Octopus was the best.
Yeah, that was the best one. This one was okay. I think they didn't even have to retell the origin, and I know Paul French would agree with me on that. And all that convoluted stuff with his parents and all that other. But it was okay.
Yeah, no, it was a fun movie. And I think my wife was, she said it was great. I mean, she doesn't usually comment on this type of stuff, but she thought it was really great casting to have Sally Field as Aunt May.
Yeah, some people say that, yeah.
She thought that was a really good casting choice. And you're absolutely right. The whole parents thing, unnecessary.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
totally.
I thought it was a good movie, and I you know, we watched it with our kids, and we were comfortable watching it, though some of the lizard stuff was a little freaky.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pure Silver Age. The stuff with Gwen Stacy as the student intern having full access to the lab, that would only happen in a mm-hmm. Silver Age comic book.
Yeah, that's true.
Not in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know. It was a fun movie. So
yeah,
I it was a good start to a new to rebooting the franchise. How about that?
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And maybe they can maybe DC can finally take a clue from Marvel and say, you know what, it's okay to go ahead and reboot this stuff pretty quick, like Marvel did with Spider-Man and also with Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and did better with the reboots than they did as they were with the previous movies in the franchises.
Yeah.
So maybe they can do that with Green Lantern, and hopefully they will do it with Superman.
Yeah, that would be good.
No, I can't. God, the lead up to that Superman movie is for freaking ever.
Yeah, I know. They need to get that thing out. Did you see the new poster with him in chains?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah, and it looked like just normal military people, so I'm sure he's letting them do that.
General Lane.
Yeah, that's one thing that they added in at one point with him being the xenophobe that I don't know when that started, but I really never really cared for that.
Happened. It happened, and since I'm not a regular Superman reader,
yeah,
you could ask John Wilson or David Weider, and they could tell us exactly which issue it was that General Lane became a foe. But mm-hmm. with their cool Superman podcast, which the latest, by the way, I'm not reading the Superman books fairly regularly, but mm-hmm. their podcast, The New 52 Adventures of Superman,
yeah,
John M. Wilson and J. David Weider, yeah. Good stuff.
Oh, I'll have to catch that. I'm real behind on podcasts. I don't have as much downtime when I'm working now than I used to. But I have a good hour commute altogether. So I'll try to do that. So yeah, I'll have to. I need to switch stuff out on my little Zune anyways. So I'll have to get those.
Zune.
Yes, that's the only thing I got, which I do. Actually, I have that company iPhone. I might put it on there. Actually, I do.
My Chris,
what?
It's 2012, man.
It was free, so I'm going to use it till it dies.
You can get a Nano for $50.
Can I?
Yes, you can.
Oh, well, I'll have to look into that. I got a birthday coming up, so.
Yeah, wait.
Yeah,
well, though you can put it on the Kindle Fire too. So.
Oh, that's right. I can. Yeah, I like that. Okay, that's a good point.
Synergy. There we go. Synergy again. One more time.
All right. Awesome.
Been able to use that word twice in one podcast.
Okay, I think we covered. We rambled on enough for an hour. Or you got a thing you said? Want to say?
I have. I'm actually. You know, as much as I was. I just wanted to make a point of saying, as much as I was kind of naysaying the way that they were trickling out the Marvel Now books, mm-hmm. for the most part they've been good. I have my usual Bendis issues with the X-Men titles that he's been putting out. Nothing new to add to my Bendis.
One thing I don't like is the fact that they're putting out that all-new X-Men title every other week at $4. That's ridiculous.
It's not a $4 book to start with.
Yeah, and Iron Man is the same way.
Yeah, and I actually already dropped Iron Man. I got to issue 2, and I was like, you know what?
I just read
I'm just not interested. Mm-hmm. Which is it's not a dig. It's just it's not my bag.
Well, yeah, and it's not, you know, $8 a month. To read that is ridiculous.
Yeah, if I wanted to see and Greg Land again, I think we said this before, he's perfectly serviceable. But if I wanted to see a Tracer, I would go watch my kids, you know, copy pictures of.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm right there with you on that.
They're not bad. I mean, and I think that they could have done worse. And I thought FF number 1 was really fun. I thought
Fantastic
I
like that.
Number 1 was really fun. And obviously what they're, you know, I'm really looking forward to Superior Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll have to pick that up too.
And I guess Hawkeye and Daredevil are you sort of considered part of the Marvel Now.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Did you pick up, Thunderbolts, the new Thunderbolts?
I just read it this morning.
What do you think of that?
I thought it was pretty cool. I don't recognize one of the characters. I need to figure out who she was. They, some chick with long hair and something.
Elektra?
No, there was another one that he picks up. He tasers her and then he locks her.
What, number 2's out already?
No, number 1. It's in number 1 where they, you know, he's having this conversation with Frank Castle, which is intercut with these scenes of him recruiting the rest of the team. You know, between Deadpool
Deadpool,
Venom,
okay, that's Elektra,
but I don't know.
Oh yeah, the chick with the pink hair. I didn't know who that was either.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I was actually going to post something on Facebook and ask people to help me because I don't know who it is. I think that's something that these are lacking. Like that last panel of Avengers number one, they've got a dozen characters on there, and I don't know. And I'm a fairly knowledgeable comic reader. I don't know who some of those characters are.
Interesting.
I think they need little
issue number two of Thunderbolts is pre-order already. Marvel started doing that. You can pre-order the books. I did that for Uncanny. It was just an option, so I went ahead and did it. But it's really, I don't see how that's really necessary. I guess they're trying to get as much sales as they can.
You can't miss an issue. I mean, you go on Comixology, their front page, it says, here's what's new this week from every publisher. And, anyhow. Yeah, no, I picked it up and I thought it was good. And it's a very vicious comic.
Oh, you're talking, okay. The very last page where he's standing there with the shield, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Spider-Woman, Ms. Marvel. Okay, it's a new Captain Universe, which I don't know where the hell she came from. And that other chick there, I don't know who she is either, standing by Hyperion. Yeah, I don't know who all those are either.
I mean, I know one of them is Sunspot, the character that's got kind of the Kirby-esque uniform on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the only reason I knew that was Sunspot is because the last issue of New Mutants said, look for Cannonball and Sunspot in Avengers. And, of course, that's Cannonball up there in the top.
Yeah, you can't miss him. Yeah, one of them is Captain Universe.
It's
a female, it looks like.
Well, it can be anybody.
Well, I know, but that's why it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, we'll see. And I think that it would do them a favor to tell us who these characters are. And I understand that's going to be part of number two, is saying, hey, look who we recruited. Boy, this is quite a motley crew.
You know, one of those symbols looks like the one for the Thunderer from Iron Fist.
Oh, well, that would be fun.
Yeah, it does. The one coming, it's the last one coming off of Captain America. It looks like the Thunderer symbol.
We shall see, shan't we?
Yeah, we shall have to see. Yeah, that's the only reason I'm probably going to get it, is because of that.
Hey, maybe they'll bring in Fat Cover.
Fat Cover, that would be awesome. I love that character.
Avengers member Fat. Yeah. Bruh.
So.
Give me food. Give me food and women, and I will fight your battles.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Saki and whores.
I love those characters. Why couldn't they? Anyway. I'm not going to get. I mean, it's like the first Marvel book I picked up in probably 10 years, and they cancel it. It just bugs me even now, still.
Maybe I shouldn't have recommended Hawkeye to you.
I'm probably going to get it canceled. So. So it's your fault if that's what happens.
It will be my fault. It's all my fault. I'll write to Matt Fraction and say, sorry, man, I am the reason the book is canceled, because I recommended it to the guy who kills books.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, that's it for
we've gone off on the tangent that definitely will
be. Now, that's what we ought to rename the episode to, the tangent. Anyway, that's it for this time, this week. As usual, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com, and watch me screw it up. You can talk to us on the Facebook page, which, we every once in a while we make somebody sad. And then you can also comment on the actual episodes at talesfromthelongbox.com/the show. And thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. And
thanks for downloading.
Yes, thanks for downloading.
Now listen to the damn thing.
Yeah, yeah. If you do download it, yeah, you do have to listen. So anyway, talk to you next time.
Okay, bye guys.